Mighty. Hallelujah. It just pays to have people filled with the Holy Ghost in the house. It really is. Because April had no idea, neither Sister Melinda, no idea what will be the Lord's moving on me to talk about today. But her prayer at the end and exhortation about let's live this thing out, let's represent, let's go, let's do this, don't waste time. That's really on point. And we never would have made it to where we are today if it had not been for the Lord on our side. Never would have made it. Thank you, Lord. Let's open up to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to take a break from our series on facing hardship triumphantly. And to do what I believe the Lord has assigned me to do this morning. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 1. Thank you, Father. Brothers, Galatians 6 and 1. Wait, let me know when you got it, Miss Amy. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, take your time. Yeah, you got it? Okay. Brethren, if anyone is caught up and overtaken in any transgression or misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, that means those who are under the control and guidance, being dominated and controlled by the Holy Ghost, restore him. Restore means to set him back in his right place. And you do it in the spirit of meekness, not in an air of superiority, but with all gentleness, keeping watch, meaning an attentive eye, close guard on yourself, lest you should also be tempted. So it is with that spirit that I'm going to launch into what I'm going to talk about today. Realize that's the spirit. Keeping yourself in mind, keeping yourself under watchful eye, knowing that it could be you. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I watched the Hillsong documentary. I only could make it through 2 episodes because at the end of the second one, I was so disturbed I had to turn it off. I watched the first one. I was very disturbed after that, but went ahead and watched the second episode. 3 episodes. Won't watch the third one. It is as hard to watch my Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father being blasphemed as it is for me to watch a documentary on child sex slavery. That is a very difficult thing from watching, and I really don't watch those because they're so very difficult. It is just as difficult to watch the name of my Heavenly Father being blasphemed. Very difficult. I see as I grow more in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I see why when Jesus himself was personally insulted, he didn't offer insult. He said when he was, King James uses the word reviled. That's the word for insult. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. In other words, when he was insulted, he didn't return that insult with an insult. Slow it down. When he was insulted, when his person was demeaned, belittled, degraded, downgraded, he didn't return insult. But you mess with his father,
It was a whole new situation. The situation became crucial. You go to my father's house, ain't gonna use this for making some money and doing some things crazy. Oh no, I'm gonna make me some whips and beat y'all out of there. You bother my father, we got a problem. With us, let's be real. It's just the opposite. You mess with me, we got a problem. God, we want to grow to turn that around. David said, the zeal of mine house has eaten me up. I got a zeal to see your house honored and respected. When the name of God is blasphemed and dragged through the mud and misused and abused, we ought to be so shook up and disturbed we can't hardly even take it. It's taken hours to get that out of me, the Hillsong documentary. I mean, even now, I saw it yesterday about 8 or 7 or 8 o'clock, and here I am the next morning still talking about it. It used to be, when I was younger in Christ Jesus, it was, look at what this guy doing. Look at what's going on here. That's terrible. But it's like, you know what? If it wasn't for you, I could be doing the same thing. See, that's the flip. That's the never would have made it. I wouldn't have made it to this point if it wasn't for God, because I could be just like Carl Lentz. I could be like Brian Houston, the one who started Hillsong. I could be like them, where I'm just only after fame and fortune. And you get so caught up in the things of this world that the things of God become secondary. They become trite, a trifle, a nothing. You use it to make billions, well, multiple millions of dollars. I'm even examining as their music, which we listen to Hillsong, and rightfully so. There's a lot of good music that came out of Hillsong. Now, whether or not the flow of the 90s with Darlene Zetcher, which I followed, she was a child TV star in Australia. So, but not even that was manipulation when they brought her up in front of the people. But I can't worry about all that. The songs they sang were wonderful songs. We sing some of those songs. And whether or not the flow and the composition of those songs matched the 90s, the current music then, and then the music in 2010 and so will match Coldplay's, I couldn't care less about that, as long as you're speaking truth. So I'm examining everything now. I'm going through it. Like, well, let me see now about music manipulation. Because one thing I'm going to stop saying, it's probably overkill, but I'm going to stop saying, somebody lift a hand or two. I'm telling you everything, because I don't want to manipulate you, not one iota. I want the Lord to be causing you to say, hallelujah, glory to God, because inside of you, you're thankful for what he's done for you. And when the song comes on right on time, never would have made it. You're shouting and crying or hand uplifted because you're thinking about how the Lord brought you out of the horrible things that he brought you through. Not because of manipulation, not the rise and fall of the music. I'm examining everything. I was going to tell Chris and JR and fella, don't do nothing for me. Let me carry everything. Because they made such a star, such a celebrity out of Carl Lentz. Carl Lentz, it was Houston who started in Australia. And they went in all over Australia and parts of Europe. But the last hard place to get into was America. So they got it together. I don't want to use prejudicial words like groomed, but a person was prepared because they had a Hillsong College. You go to college there and you come out and I guess you're looking at who's the brightest and the best. And out of that came Carl Lentz. And Carl Lentz was chosen by Brian Houston to open the church in New York. There were lines in New York for 2 hours to get into the church. 2 hours. And there were the lights, the smoke, the fog. I mean, the band. I mean, it just, people were lining up. There were new movie stars up in there. You know about Justin? It was Justin Bieber's pastor. Justin Bieber. And he's on talk shows with Justin Bieber laying on his shoulders. Like, I love this guy. Do you think that the Holy Ghost is crazy when he tells us, love not the what?
World.
And in case you got confused on that, he says, neither the things that are in the world. And if you don't know what all that's about, he goes on to say, for all that is in the world is the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions. That's what he got caught up in. I know that could have been me. Still can be me. Because as long as you have breath in your body and you Sister Lana had taken a break from calling flesh stinky, nasty, but she went back to it today. It's amazing. God is not crazy. The timing is all beautiful. She hadn't did that in months. She went back to it, that so nasty, nasty flesh. When flesh, remember the teaching, the destructive effects of fleshly rule. He got caught up in the glitz and the glam, and he's on all these talk shows, and Carl Lentz is a rock star, and there's maybe some jealousy where he's now bigger than the founder. Some shady photos, a young lady, there's adultery, he has 3 children and a wife of 17 years. He's a pastor over thousands. What are we doing? I mean, are we coming here just to come here? What's the purpose? Because it's Sunday. Are we wasting our time? I understand. The world is very attractive. It's by design. That's by design. Satan is a master manipulator. The Bible said, that's not mine. You can't give the devil too much, you know. No, the Bible says he's the most, not a subtle. He said the most subtle beast of the field. Is that not true? Genesis 3:1. It's designed to ooh with the eyes, to want the things with your flesh. That's it's designed. Lentz will come in, Carl Lentz will come in a limo, go through a door, go preach, and run right back out and on to the next situation. And some of the people they interview say, you know, that's not how I was growing up. I grew up in a Baptist church. The church pastor's door was always open. You always talk to him. They hear you never could talk to the pastor. He was gone. What are we doing here? Make sure you put him in your prayers. And there's, instead of being very, very just shook by the whole thing, but what has come to me is pray for him. And it's sad. It's sad. Because it can happen to anyone. You get caught up to the point that it all becomes about you. He became such a celebrity, people came to church to see him, not to hear the word of God. And sin was rarely ever mentioned, if at all. He turned into motivational speakers speaking, which I didn't realize that really they were a bigger version of, what's the dude in Texas name?
Joel
Osteen. I didn't realize they were even a bigger version of that. They interviewed just regular people, you know, just who had gone to their church. Yeah, man, made me feel good. Hey, I went through a bad time and it was therapeutic. These just regular sinners. If a sinner feels good in the house of God, supposed house of God, that's a problem. Because the very preaching of the word of God, even if it's the genealogy of the word of God, it ought to convict the sinner. Why? Because all of it is God-breathed. All of it is alive, active, and powerful. All of it is, including the genealogies. So-and-so begot so-and-so. Who begot so-and-so?
God doesn't need any help. He doesn't need a PR firm. He doesn't care about any of that. We don't need to help God. It's not up to us to make God more palatable so that this godless culture can digest them. Are you kidding me? Just teach the doggone word of God, please. We're so enamored with culture. I could have driven over here and just sat in here and just hugged the building. Does it say, thank you, Lord, for Word of Life, Christian Learning Center Ministries. Excuse me, of Inkster Ministry, excuse me. Thank you, Lord. Because we could be somewhere else. I could be somebody else. Hungering and thirsting for fame and fortune. All that which is fleeting and temporary and transient as at best. But the word of God endures forever. I told my wife this morning, I said, you know, there's a renewed focus in me. I was telling Mr. Chris when I got out the car. That's just on my mind. There's a renewed focus. Great. Want to be even sharper and more focused for the things of God.
Amen.
More sharp. Amen. More determined to obey His will.
Amen.
More focused and more aware of things that try to distract. Notice then this, I can see it in the periphery, but my vision is still straight. Because there's going to always be this until you die. It's going to be this. The bottom line is don't start doing this at it. You can't make this go away. You can't make the devil stop coming at you. You can't make the girl dress right. You can't make yoga pants go away, which I wish they would. Lord have mercy. But they're not. So what you going to do? Then you got to change. You got to stay focused. They're not going to go away. These are not going to go away. What are these? Distracts. Attempts to distract. The things of the world are going to be here until you die. That's real talk. And therefore, but by the grace of God, go I. But by the grace of God, but by the grace of God, go I. We pray. We want to pray for the Lentz family, his wife, and 3 children. We want to pray. As a matter of fact, yes, add them to our prayer list. The Brian Houston and the Hillsong conglomerate, all of them. And then in particular, Carl Lentz, I don't know his wife's name, and their 3 children. I forgot the young lady who had an affair with. She needs prayer too. She's all messed up. Your sin never just messes you up. It's always all other kind of stuff. It's the pond, the ripple in the pond. Stones drop their pebble in the pond. Ripple goes all the way, depending on how big the pond is, to the edges. It messes up everything. Everything, depending on how size that pond, the size of that pond. Everything in that pond is disturbed, has been disturbed by that one ripple, that one pebble, rather. Sin spreads like cancer. One of the other ministers, administrators, he got drunk. It's a separate case. A Hillsong employee got drunk and just groped the girl in front of everybody. He was so drunk. Grabbing all the private parts, all in front of everybody. Then they tried to shame her. The church tried to shame her. Took him a year or almost a year to get it right. The pastor still was trying to throw shade on her. Where's the humility? We are people of God. You hear some of the people in the interview saying, wow, I thought, hey, this is Christianity. You know, why would Christianity? This is not Christianity. I want to jump in the screen. This is not Christianity.
Right. Amen.
No, it's not Christianity, young lady.
Yeah.
No, this is not. Christianity said, love your neighbor. Not grope them. Christianity obeys the Bible. He said, be not drunk with wine. You blew out drunk. And you're married. No, it's not Christianity. That's why Sister Land, the Lord exhorted us again. Live this thing before a watching world so that they will know what Christianity is and what it isn't. Let your light so shine before men, the watching world, that they may see your good works. They're supposed to see it. It's supposed to be on the display. We're cities set on hills that cannot be hid from what vision? From you. No, baby girl, that's not Christianity. The disco lights and the smoke, that's not Christianity. And Carl Lentz was, you know, handsome guy, nice body, worked out. He got on cut jeans that are a touch tight. You can't get anyone out of girls. I'm telling, fella reminded me, like, please forgot. I told you all, I wouldn't even wear a watch that was too decorative because it was a distraction. A watch! Let alone some pants. They got holes all in them. We're not here. Pastors are not supposed to be a distraction. We're not supposed to be.
Amen.
We're not supposed to be.
That's right. Amen.
All we are just conduits. We're saxophones, we're trumpets, we're just instruments. My analogy is Miles Davis played a beautiful trumpet. When Miles Davis finished, he set the trumpet down, and who did the people applaud? The trumpet? Never. They never applaud the trumpet. They applaud the musician. And then the thing about it is, the trumpet never jumped off the stand and said, hey, what about me? But that's what we are. We're living trumpets, unfortunately. We can jump off the stand and say, hey, what about me? To the point that you can turn the whole thing to just the trumpet. And we don't even know there even is a musician. He ran it like a business. He came to America. Houston came to America to figure out how to do this thing. This was a planned enterprise. He studied various ministries on how to do this. We're going to take our time now. I'm asking Sister Renata to pray for Carl Lentz's wife and family, and then pray for Houston, and then for the Hillsong Church at large. And we're going to add them to our prayer list and keep them in our prayers. Amen. Come on, sis.
Amen. Father God, we do thank you for this opportunity. And it is an opportunity that we can come to you on behalf of our brothers and our sisters, Lord God. Lord God, you know the state of their hearts. You know the Carl Lentz family. You know the Houston family. You know all about that situation more than we could ever know, even from a documentary or whatever.
Amen.
Father God, but we just thank and praise you, Lord God, according to your will, that you would truly save those who are not. And for those who are, that you would restore them, Father. We thank and praise you, Lord God, that they would obtain a spirit of humility, and that they will humbly come to you, Lord God, in thanksgiving for what you are able to do and what you've already done. We thank and praise you, Lord God, for all the many who were affected by this situation, Lord God, that you would continue to point them to you, that they would see, that you would use even this, and that they would see how they are sometimes too focused on the man and not focused on you. So I just thank and praise you, Lord God, that you use all situations and all circumstances, that you work them to your good. So I thank and praise you, Lord God, that even this will be worked to your good.
Amen.
I thank and praise you, Lord God, that you will shake up that church according to your will, and that this has shaken them up to the point where they're looking to you
Yes.
Not
yes.
that they go away from the church, but yes. they go closer to you.
Yes.
Further
yes.
away from yes. being led by people, being led by man. Thank you, praise you, Lord God, that you would open your scripture to them, that they would see your word, they would see the truth that is in your word, and that it will prick their hearts. They'll see it like they have not seen it in the past. We thank and praise you, Lord God, for a faithful man that will come along yes. and lead and guide yes. and direct yes. those people yes. in the things of God and lead by example according to your scripture. And we just thank you, Lord God, that when all is said and done, that you will be honored and that you will be glorified.
Yes.
That
yes.
nothing will stop you from being glorified. Yes. Nothing will yes. stop you from being exalted. So we just thank and praise you, Lord God, that you would work in that situation according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just one other thing on this. Sometime I have some differences every once in a while with Pastor Dr. John MacArthur, but that church is a legitimate mega church, and it's probably only that I know of reformed mega church maybe in the world, I don't know, but that's something that God has allowed that church to have several thousand people, and it is a reformed church who didn't set out to be with the marketing strategies and all that. When he came over, when he took over the church in 1969, John MacArthur, he asked the elders, what about Matthew 18, where it tells you how to handle church discipline? You know, you're supposed to go to the person, the first step, second one, take two or three others to the person. They don't hear them, then tell the church. And if they don't hear them, then kick them out. You know, let them be a publican to you, a heathen. And he asked, tried to get advice from elders around that time. They told him, man, you can't do that, because you're going to empty out the church. So that was his thing. I said that to you to show you that he came in to obey the word of God. That's the mindset that you come into when the Lord has had you to take over church or to plant a church, as we, Word of Life is a church plant, started from scratch, from the ground. Your goal is to obey the word of God. The growth, the breadth of it is all God. You understand that? How far and how many people a church, people come into the church. That's God. We're not recruiters. We're not promoters. We're supposed to be teachers of the word of God. So I admire Grace Church, although I don't necessarily always agree with some things that he's done per se and personally. But overall, that is a church of God. Now, do they have folks acting crazy in it? Yes, they do. That's going to be everywhere. I mean, real talk, I don't know if everyone in here is saved. I don't know. Jesus said 1 in 4. But thank God I don't have to know. What I must do is teach the word of God. I must teach the word of God so that you'll know what is true and what is right. At least you had a chance to get the word of God. When you walk out of here, if you agree with it and your life is changed by it, then the truth of the word of God did it. If you don't agree or you walked away, then you walked away from the truth of the word of God. Either way, the word of God was preached. Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. In a short time we have left, we'll let's go over to let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to stay in this vein then about walking in the flesh versus walking in the spirit. We'll keep in this vein. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, is that not insight? Is that not a clear command on what we're to do so that we don't fall into that, being caught up into the world's things? Very clear. Walk, which means to live habitually, which means to order your life. Life is thinking, speaking, and doing. Order that in the sphere of the Word of God according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, when you order your life in the sphere of the Word of God, according to the Word of God, he said, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Wow. So whose fault is it as Christians then if we are gratifying the cravings and the desires and the dictates of our human nature? It's ours. I mean, that ought to be good news, because you can't blame anyone else. Because then you have to wait for the anyone else to get right or move, and the stars need to line, and Jupiter got to be just next to Saturn, and Saturn got to lose two rings, and then before it can go over to Mars. You don't need all the interplanetary lineup.
Right.
The stars to be just so.
Right.
Nope. You're born again. Your spirit has been raised from the dead, and he's quickened your spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you, greater is he that is in you. Then we, at that moment, don't have to sin. Did we not teach the whole year on that almost? Yeah, we don't have to sin. This is insight. When, not if, when temptation is presented, and it will be usually several times in a day, you need to keep remembering, I can conquer this. By the grace of God. Never would have made it without you. But I'm not without you. I have you, so I can make it. Just keep him pep talk yourself. David, downcast, blew out, sad. He commanded his soul. The literal Greek is hope in God. That's literal Hebrew, rather. He commanded, it's like he told his soul, hope in God. You're despondent. You're depressed, you're broken, you're sad,
yes.
And he commanded his soul, hope in God.
Yes.
That's what we have to do.
Yes, we do. Yes, you do.
That's a decision that you have to make.
Amen.
Is flesh screaming at you, telling you to do the opposite thing? Hey, look at that, keep looking at that, ruminate on that, and then get your ideas on that, let it sit in your mind, and then you start to act. And that's what the flesh wants to do, because it feels good.
Right.
It feels good. It feels good to be adored by culture and be accepted to be all over everything. It feels good for a season. Because believe me, it runs out.
It does.
Even Hollywood knows that. You know, you look at a movie of an affair, you know, and in the beginning of the affair, you know, the husband and the girlfriend, the wife and whoever it is, having an affair, and things are just whatever. And then even in the movie, things turn. By the end of the movie, they can't stand each other or might have killed each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes way. Even Hollywood knows that they don't understand it, but the pleasures of sin are but for a what?
Season.
That's what we're talking about. It runs out. What we need to do is, when temptation approaches us, we need to remember, let me just get past this beginning. And thank God I don't have to do it in my own strength.
Yes.
I've been commanded to do it here. I can walk, which means I can live, which means I can order my life, which means I can order my thoughts, because that's going to be the key. That's at the root of all of that. At that moment, you gotta start ordering your thoughts. Okay, thoughts? Let's get out of this. This is juicy insight information right now.
Amen.
You order your thoughts, you're gonna have a grand opportunity to walk away from it. Because thoughts order your mouth. And James says you control your mouth, control the whole body.
Yes,
so at the root of controlling yourself is your thoughts.
So as you're living, ordering your thoughts according to the word of God, you will not, the quicker you get a hold of your thoughts, the quicker you'll not gratify the dictates, the desires, the demands of the flesh.
Amen.
And that's what we need to get to, the cravings and the desires. Now, is it easy to do so? No, it's not easy to do so, but it can be done, and it should be done, and it is expected to be done, because you're born of God. He said, and his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. So the Lord God, you're his child, he expects you, to obey that verse. You're expected to. Not you can, you should, you're expected to. Why? You belong to him. He's our Father. We have no excuse. Got the power of the Holy Spirit, we got his word. We got his power. Did I mention power? Yeah. His might. We got his wisdom. We got his power. Back to power again.
Yeah.
I keep saying that because be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have his might. We can make this. We can do this thing. We can do it. No matter how bright and glitzy, glammy that is, we can turn that down. Because at the root of that is selfishness.
Yeah.
You see something for you, that doesn't benefit the interviews and the glam, and you got pictures of some of all the highest, the quote-unquote A-listers in entertainment, period. You view that status that you get from that more than feeding the flock of God, more than bringing God glory. Because that was for him, Carl Lentz, but not for the flock, not for the thousands that he was pastoring over, and not, of course, for his quote-unquote father if he is saved. That's why we keep reminding you, make sure that you sacrifice your comfort for his glory. It's more comfortable to be accepted in the culture. You know, because, you know, if you're in a fight, you get tired of just swimming all over the stream, all man, abortion is murder. I gotta say that again. Homosexuality is a sin. I gotta keep saying that again. Yep, gotta keep saying it again. Oh, a man is born a man. He made the male and female. Man is not a woman because they say he's a woman. Okay, I'm gonna society accepts it. You're gonna push back. The word of God pushes back against all of that. You gotta maintain the pushback. It's a fight. It's a war. We're at war. It's not with culture, in a sense, the human beings, but it's the spirit behind the culture. It's the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, has blinded their minds. We're in a war. Great insight. It's not the Republicans. It's not the Democrats. It's not the independents. It's not the sexual revolutionaries. It's the spirit behind it all. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. What insight. Look at all those verses. What wonderful insight. So you go to prayer. You war and go to prayer.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God Almighty. We pray for his family. She said, I don't know about these dudes. I don't know what's going on. We can't really go over fool all in a documentary. But I tell you what, if ain't nobody saved, save them. Mm-hmm. If they are, bring them back.
Amen.
That's a great prayer. Yes. We don't have to know. It's not our business.
We ain't no tab. We won't get into no tabloid thing.
No way.
What we do know is that if we don't control our flesh, it will dominate us.
Yeah.
And that word gratify, the desires, that means dictates, demands, craving. Listen to those words. Dictates the cravings, the demands, the desires. It's, your flesh is not just whispering, you know, I really would like to do that. No, it's like, do that! Now!
Yeah.
Do you hear me demanding? Yeah. I want that! Right. And you got to stand and say, no, but you can't have it. By the power and the grace of God that's in you, you tell your flesh, no, you ain't getting this.
Amen. Amen.
Point blank, period. You're not getting it. Now take your ragged self and look somewhere else. Get your eyes off of that girl. or that man, if you're a female, and look unto Jesus. Close them if you need to. I'm going to visit my nephew in Miami. I said, I may have to get a seeing eye dog. Because it's got to just... I had it. Been...
Yeah, man, I said, seeing eye dog. They said they've been so crazy in Miami. You just got to get a seeing eye dog and just get a seeing eye dog. I mean, you got to go to great length, Miss Cheryl, to bring God glory. Because this world is against God. It's godless. And I need to find, maybe I need somebody to look that up for how much is a seeing eye dog for about a week. But you got to do whatever. I always tell you, you got to fight, in particular, fight for your marriage. This world is anti-marriage.
Amen.
I thank God, Sister Ladd and I are beacon light. We'll be 34 years June, this coming June 4th at 4 p.m. Miss Felicity, that's how I remember the date and the time. We were born June 4 at 4. 1988. Thank God. And here she is, my best friend, my best friender, getting closer. And I thank God for us being a beacon light. Really, against, we are anti-culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're promoting marriage between a man and a woman.
Amen.
Whoever thought that would have been a thing? The desires of the flesh. We will not kowtow. We will not give in. We will not step in faith. Using the speech from Lean on Me. Robert Guillaume was letting Morgan Freeman have it. You will kowtow. You will step in faith. You will. Yeah, you need to show some humility. And contrary to popular belief, the Word of God is the head in charge.
Amen.
And everything in charge.
Amen.
Y'all pray for me.
Amen.
I hate when the Word of God is thinking you need help. God don't need your help.
Hey,
he never did.
Yeah.
But that's the lie. You got to soften them up. A little too strong. Can't talk about wrath. Can't talk about holiness. Oh, man, you know something? You know, I've been told that when a pastor commits adultery, well, man, you know, he up front, you know, and girls is out there. You got to give him a break. Really? Where's a bucket so I can throw up? I mean, that's just ridiculous. But must sort of be true because they keep going right back to the pulpit. We know of several that are going right back to the pulpit.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 5 again, as we get ready to close. Walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and do it habitually. That's the present tense. Walking, keep living every single moment of every day habitually. By the Spirit means being in control of the Spirit, being responsive to the Spirit, being dominated moment by moment and guided by the Spirit. And he said, when you do all of that, then you will not. Not you're going to be a good chance, there's a good chance of odds in your favor. He said, you will not gratify. You will not satisfy. You will not give in to the dictates, the desires, the cravings, and the demands of your flesh. The flesh is the human nature, the part of our human nature that is without God. I said, that is without God. I've said to the Lord this morning, I said, you know, the flesh has nothing concerning you in it. The flesh wants nothing to do with you. And that's scary that dark beast is living inside of me. That's scary. You have inside of you, that's a part of your nature that has nothing to do with God. That hit me this morning like never before. Your flesh has nothing, don't want nothing to do with God. That's why when you let him run, let the flesh take the ascendancy, we are in trouble. Your flesh, my flesh, our flesh has nothing. It is the part of the human, like how this one had, part of the human nature that is without God. It's unredeemed. That's why it'll do anything if you let it go. It is just as perverted
and deranged and demonic as any sinner out there. It's just that you've been saved and you now have control over your nature. But it is a dark beast. And it's within. At any moment, you can wake that beast. See, desire, hear, can just wake it. Now you're in a struggle. And the longer, when you don't immediately jump on it, when the temptation first enters, whether it be through your thoughts or through the eye gate, ear gate, if you don't jump on it, then the fight gets harder to contain it. You understand what I'm saying? Because now you're giving it some strength. You've fed it a little bit, and it's growling and rolling around. I want this. I want that. Next thing you know, someone will be letting go so long, it's like Mighty Joe Young and Godzilla fighting each other. Like, wow, it's got that big. But it's that serious.
Yeah.
You find yourself out there doing things that you just never thought you would ever do. He tells you here, if you walk by the Spirit and live by it. 17 and we'll close. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires, the dictates, the cravings, demands of the flesh, the unregenerate nature, is opposed to the Holy Spirit. Against, opposed to the capital S, Holy Spirit. It is opposed. Let's just not read too fast. Your flesh, my flesh, the unregenerate nature without God is in direct opposition to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says go left. It says, no, I want to go right. Holy Spirit says go up. Flesh says, I want to go down. It's in direct opposition. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. They are in conflict continually with each other to keep you from doing the things that you want or desire to do. It prevents you. This war that's on the inside. Now, people don't understand the struggle. And if you're always talking about motivational speaking things and saying things that get drawing crowds, you never understand, the Christian will never understand why there's a struggle within. There's a dark beast known as the flesh, the unregenerate nature, the part of the human nature that is without God, versus the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you and your redeemed spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's a struggle. That's where the word fight comes in. Fight the good fight of faith. That's to great agony, agony, agonize in this struggle. It's a fight. That's why the Lord God takes pleasure in the death of the saints, because they have ceased from their what?
Struggle.
From their labors.
Labor.
Did you struggle? You've ceased from it. The war's over.
Yeah.
It was me now. The big payoff. That's represent, y'all. That's represent. Let's not go out there looking like everybody else or too many other so-called Christians where the world doesn't even know what Christianity looks like. Father God, we thank you. We don't have to beg. We just thank you because you already said it. We can boldly say you are our helper.
Amen.
So we don't have to beg you to help us. Thank you for being a ready and willing helper all the time. What we need to beg is that we'll use your help.
Yes.
I don't have to say, well, Lord God, be with us. You said you'll never leave us. Amen. What we need to do is be God inside minded and realize you're always there. Sometimes we're praying on the wrong things. I pray that we will avail ourselves of all of the gifts and power and might and wisdom that you've already given us as your children. And thank you for helping us. Not have to ask you, Lord, help me. No, thank you for helping us. I pray we'll use you as our helper. And we will conquer our flesh. Day by day until we die. In Jesus' name, amen.